This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Steve Kathan. Former President Trump says he's a target in the special counsel's investigation into the Capitol attack and efforts to overturn the 2020 election. Trump says on social media he got a target letter from the Justice Department. CBS's Scott McFarlane.
A target letter is often given in close proximity to a decision on criminal charges. But don't expect an announcement or Jack Smith to articulate this in front of a podium. More often, the Department of Justice, and in this case, the special counsel, speak their case through court filing.
There's a procedural court action today in the classified documents case that led to charges against Trump. U.S. officials say an American soldier who was headed home for disciplinary reasons crossed the border from South Korea into North Korea. CBS's Haley Ott says he managed to break away from a tour group.
Everybody initially wasn't sure if it was some sort of joke, but when the man didn't return, people on the tour and the South Korean authorities reacted very swiftly. They brought everybody off into another building, debriefed everybody, found out who the man was, and then quickly brought everybody else on the tour group out of the area.
CBS's David Martin says the man's been identified as Private Second Class Travis King. It's believed he's now in North Korean custody. Today is day 19 in a row in Phoenix with temperatures above 110. CBS's Jonathan Vigliotti says the intense heat is now more of a factor in other places, too.
In Las Vegas, where it's been 110 degrees or above for more than a week.
We had probably a 20 or 30% increase in calls, if not more.
James Langley has been working overtime all week after a power surge left residents in the neighborhood of Providence without air conditioning.
We went from running 2 trucks 8 hours a day to running 3 trucks about 13, 14 hours a day. I mean, everybody really wasn't ready for this heat.
Odyssey meteorologist Craig Allen has his eye on a new round of bad air from Canadian wildfires.
A large area of very poor air quality runs from the Washington, D.C. area on up through Pennsylvania into New York State and just about all of New England.
Well, from Detroit, Jeff Gilbert of affiliate WWJ on a new investigation into Tesla driver assist.
Officials of the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration believe one of Tesla's automation systems was engaged in this latest fatal crash. Tesla says its systems are safe, but are no substitute for a driver remaining engaged. The government's looking to see if there's an inherent fault in the systems or if some other technology may need to be added.
The Dow is up 370. This is CBS News.
Need to hire quality candidates fast? You need Indeed, the end-to-end hiring solution. Attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Viking.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state, and in your own backyard. This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
The 24th Assembly District seat has been vacant since former Representative Dan Knodel was elected to the state Senate in April. The candidates are Republican Paul Mladic and Democrat Bob Tatterson. Mladic lives in Grafton and has served on the Ozaukee County Board for 11 years. Tatterson is a retired engineer who lives in Mequon. The 24th includes parts of Washington, Ozaukee, and Waukesha counties. Those are the WOW counties, which have been reliably safe for Republicans. But Tatterson was beating Mladic in fundraising 3-1. Stuart J. Waddles, Civic Media News.
the Wisconsin Beer Distributors and Operating Engineers Local 139. Hundreds of people are suing the city of La Crosse over PFAS. The town of Campbell is right next to La Crosse. People who live there are suing for more than $40 million. People in Campbell say forever chemicals used at the La Crosse County Airport are driving their property values down. Environmentalists are warning about a high number of Great Lakes beaches in Wisconsin that tested positive for potentially unsafe levels of bacteria last year. Mike Moen reports.
The group Environment America notes 63% of beaches tested in the Great Lakes region last year had at least one day of fecal contamination that exceeded the EPA's beach action value. That tool helps states determine whether a beach is safe enough to go swimming. Environment America's John Rumpler says the results underscore how much pollution is plaguing areas meant for the public to enjoy.
Hundreds of America's beaches have enough pollution to put swimmers at risk, and that's just unacceptable.
For Wisconsin, more than 100 beaches were tested last year. 76 had at least one day of potentially harmful levels of the bacteria in question. The group says key sources of pathogen pollution that can make swimmers sick include stormwater runoff and sewage overflows. I'm Mike Moen.
One of the nation's renewable energy leaders is right next door to Wisconsin. 64% of Iowa's energy now comes from wind. That's a new record for that state. Green energy advocates call it a big step toward fossil fuel independence.
I think Iowans have come together about renewable energy because it provides benefit in rural areas. It's remarkable that Iowa has led the way on this for so long, even through political change for decades now.
Michael Schmidt is with the Iowa Environmental Council. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Terry.
For 105.7 CFW and 93.5 The Tap FM, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Here's what you need to know in the Chippewa Valley. Tonight, the Eau Claire County Board of Supervisors will elect a new board chair. Former chair Nick Smyer was voted out last week over the handling of the investigation into the county's health department, which was $3 million over budget in 2019. The new chair will serve until the next election of board officers, which takes place after next spring's election. One person is dead after a motorcycle crash in Sawyer County Sunday afternoon. The sheriff's office said the 53-year-old Ladysmith man was driving east on Highway 48, about a mile west of Exland, when he lost control of his vehicle and crashed in the ditch. Officials don't know when the crash happened or what led to the crash, but said in a release they are still investigating. While nobody won the Powerball jackpot in Saturday's drawing, one lucky winner in Chippewa Falls is $100,000 richer thanks to matching four of the five numbers and the Powerball. The winning ticket was sold at a Senex gas station. No one won the jackpot in last night's drawing either, and the next Powerball drawing will be for over $1 billion. Wisconsin Farm Technology Days began today in Sauk County. The three-day event runs through Thursday afternoon. The annual event, which is done in a different county each year, brings in tens of thousands of visitors. Governor Tony Evers was at the event this morning and talked about the need for public funding to help expand broadband internet access for all communities.
For broadband, we also have to have affordable broadband. That is a key. And in order to do that, frankly, the federal government, state government will need to significantly subsidize putting it in the ground and bringing it to people's homes. And we just expect that.
This year's event is being held west of Baraboo and is open from 9 a.m. until 4 p.m. each day. Farm Tech Days will be in Chippewa County next year. It was in Clark County last year. And Country Jam gets underway tomorrow north of Eau Claire. The new location is just off of Highway T. Before that, it was held in the town of Union. Headliners include Tim McGraw, Lee Bryce, and Dirks Bentley. From the Civic Media Newsroom, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
And now, your Wisconsin weather from Civic Media.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a look at your weather ahead. Another day mixed with sunny periods and cloudy streaks alongside crisp west winds keeps the state at average high temperatures today. Temps will tap the upper 70s to low 80s for a majority of the state, unless if you live by the big ponds. Those two Great Lakes will keep areas near them at highs in the upper 60s to low 70s. Light showers sprinkle in this evening around 5 p.m. in the Northwoods near Lake Superior and work their way slowly southeastward across the Northwoods and towards Green Bay. Tonight, temperatures will drop into the 50s statewide under mostly clear skies. And the next shot of storms surges in tomorrow night into Thursday morning. Have a terrific Tuesday, Wisconsin. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot, Civic Media News.
The Brewers lose another starting pitcher. Good afternoon. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Milwaukee left-hander Wade Miley was placed on the 15-day DL today with soreness in his left throwing elbow. He was supposed to start tomorrow night. The Crew are in Philadelphia to face the Phillies. First pitch tonight at 5:40. It's Julio Teheran tonight against the Phillies' Aaron Nola. Milwaukee remains with a two-game lead in the NL Central. The Reds and the Giants game suspended last night due to rain in Cincinnati. Craig Counsell on what he sees for his bullpen on the second half of the season.
I mean, I think, look, we're going to have, I think we're going to need somebody else to step up from, you know, we get this group of five that's been here all year. All five of them have had really nice seasons. We're definitely going to need, you know, somebody else in that group. But, you know, that's, you know, I'm asking for a lot, I understand. But we do have a pretty good, you know, idea what we want to do down there right now. And guys' roles are, you know, very well defined.
I asked Christian Yelich if he's okay where the Brewers have been in the standings.
Yeah, you just want to be in a position that you're in it down the stretch. You know, we're still a few months out from September, but, you know, going into the last month of the season, you want to be within striking distance and feel like you have a chance at making a run at the postseason. And you work hard all year as a team to put yourself in a position to succeed and play meaningful games at the end of the year. And, you know, we still have a lot of work to do in order to have that happen. But overall, it was kind of a up and down first half for us. We dealt with a lot as a team. I definitely think there's room for improvement in a lot of areas, but we put ourselves in a position to be within striking distance, to be close, and hopefully have a good second half.
Cubs lost last night at home to the Nationals 7-5. NBA MVP Joel Embiid was interviewed at a sports show in L.A. and asked, does he want to finish his career with the 76ers?
I just want to win a championship, you know, whatever it takes. I don't know what that's going to be, whether it's in Philly or, you know, anywhere else. You know, I just want to have a chance to accomplish that. I want to see what it feels like to win that first one and then think about, you know, the next one.
NFL, no new contracts for running back Saquon Barkley of the Giants, the Cowboys Tony Pollard, or the Raiders' Josh Jacobs. That means all three players will be playing under franchise tags this season. Barkley could be a holdout when training camps open next week. Packers nose tackle Kenny Clark on CBS Sports Radio was asked, now that Aaron Rodgers is gone, are the Packers getting less respect as a possible playoff team?
Yeah, 100%, but that's cool. I like it that way. It's been one of the first off seasons where, you know, we ain't really been getting the credit, getting the love. You know, everybody says Aaron, that determines the factor whether we win or lose. So, you know, we love it, man. We're going to embrace it. When it comes week one, you know, when the season gets here, you know, we'll see how everything stack up. But we're excited about it.
That's the Packers' Kenny Clark. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
Yeah, I want to go outside. I want to be.
We're here.
Whoa, that was fast.
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Wisconsin's manner of funding local government is nearly singular in the country. That cheese stands alone, if you will. It hasn't been working in Milwaukee. It hasn't been working in Rhinelander. It hasn't been working in La Crosse, Green Bay, Madison, Kenosha, Racine. I don't care what you pick. It ain't working.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Through the afternoon, mostly sunny and a high in the low 80s. Chance of rain late tonight, low upper 50s, and a few lingering showers tomorrow morning, then clearing, high 85. Back into sunshine as we look towards Thursday, a high around 80 degrees, and into the low 80s Friday, more sunshine. Currently at 75 degrees.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Today, this is Town Hall, a brand new approach to homegrown radio, where you are the star, you are the talent, and you will drive the talking points of the day. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. I'm William Walter, Policy Research Director and Lead Training Organizer with our Wisconsin Revolution, joined by Mr. Luke Mathers in studio again today, day number two of the brand new gig. Luke, how are you doing today?
Brand new gig, same gig, just new digs. We're in the new facility here on State Street. We're having a lot of fun. Excited to join you here on the airwaves for Town Call. And we're repping the new look. We got a logo on the screen behind us. We've got all these fancy new mics. We got Aaron on the board, who's learning those ones and twos along with us. It's a lot of fun here at Civic Media right now.
I love the I definitely love the logo on the background, but I'm thinking we got to try to change. There you go. The black background screen behind the logo to white. It'll go so much better with the red, white, and blue theme. You know what I'm saying?
Jeez, are you picky and demanding. Okay. It wasn't good enough I got it there.
I thought I asked very nicely.
Okay.
I thought that was a very nice way of me asking. You did a phenomenal job,
Aaron. Did it sound like he was nitpicking a little bit? He was like, if you could change just one more thing.
I don't know. I don't think it really sounded like nitpicking. I thought it was more like, hey, here's another thing. We could make it even better.
All right. See, look, Aaron's taking that right down the middle approach. I think that is effectively because you've been working the refs the past couple weeks when it comes to the most Wisconsin headline of the week, Will. And that's why Aaron's going, you know, right down the middle.
Years of practice, Luke. Years of practice. You got to be polite but firm. Make sure that the officials understand, like, hey, I know you're a good guy. I know you're just doing your job. But at the same time, like, you can do your job a little bit better. You know what I'm saying?
Sir. Well, what are we talking about today here on Town Call, Will? Let's get the subject of today's Town Call out there for the people.
Well, Luke, I have a question for you, the audience, and the people of Wisconsin. Continuing a little bit on the conversation we had yesterday regarding trust in our electoral system, how do we restore trust into American politics, both in from a politician's perspective and from a systemic issues in and of themselves? And my first question for you today, Luke, is should candidates be able to use campaign funds to pay themselves back for loans that they gave their campaign? This is an issue that we have talked about in the past, you and I, but reading over from a piece at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Ron Johnson pockets $400,000 from donors for old campaign loans, despite saying he wouldn't do so. U.S. Senator Ron Johnson is paying himself back hundreds of thousands of dollars for loans he made to his prior Senate campaigns, despite claiming that he would not seek to recoup the money from donors. The multi-million dollar Oshkosh Republican received $400,000 from his campaign account in early May, according to his latest filing with the Federal Elections Commission. The payments were made in two installments of $150,000 each and two more of $60,000 and $40,000, all on May 3rd from loans for his successful 2010 and 2016 elections. As you noted when we were talking about this before the break, Luke, these repayments are all perfectly legal due to the May 2022 Supreme Court ruling in Ted Cruz versus FEC decision that noted federal candidates are entitled to use an unlimited amount of cash raised after an election to repay loans they had previously made to their campaign. Federal lawmakers had previously placed a $250,000 cap on the amount of money that candidates could raise after their election to repay old campaign loans, but that is now unlimited. Luke, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, it's an interesting update here now, because as we talked about this previous, this now seems like, as we pointed out yesterday, we're talking about these elections from 2020. Now we're talking about 2010 elections and 2016 elections, because with this new ruling, candidates, as long as they're still in office, or I guess even if they're not in office, they could just continue these campaigns and continue to fundraise to pay for loans that these self-made individuals, these individuals that run, want to run government like a corporation, that didn't just take out these loans in perpetuity then against themselves. They're loaning themselves money just to go and fundraise to then go pay off those loans. It doesn't feel like a self-made individual would do this, Will. It doesn't seem like this would be what the good business sense is to be able to run these campaigns for forever, effectively. If you have the resources to loan yourself money and then you just go and continue to fundraise to pay back those personal loans, it seems at least questionable in my mind, because it's going to lead to just fundraising in perpetuity. And I think that's most candidates, I don't think, like doing the dialing for dollars. They don't like the fundraising aspect of what their jobs require of them. We should be able to have some campaign finance reforms that would make it so that there's not so much money in politics. But this seems like it's just adding on to that rather than making the process more simplified. Yeah. Lighter fluid.
Especially when you consider that our elected officials, it should be considered a public service, right? You are working on behalf of your constituents. You are working because they chose you to represent them. And as you noted, it kind of seems like we're turning political campaigns into a career in and of themselves with the sole focus of
which is a little ironic, because the whole reason that Ron Johnson ran in the first place was that he said he was not a career politician. He committed to only serving for two terms, but he's currently in his third. And so it is important to note that some of the comments that U.S. Senator Ron Johnson makes to the press don't necessarily carry the weight that he may intend them to carry when he says them. His involvement in the plot to deliver fraudulent electors to Congress on January 6, 2021, when his involvement in that scheme came out that he may have delivered or was trying to deliver the fake electors for Wisconsin and Michigan to then Vice President Mike Pence, he told reporters he pretended he was on a phone call walking out of the U.S. Capitol. And the reporter said, "No, Senator, I can see you're not on a call right now. Your phone screen is at the home screen. You're not currently on a call." And his defense was, "Well, I tell reporters whatever I need to get them off my back."
Remember, Luke, the quote from when he was asked about the fake elector scheme, and he said, quote, "My involvement in that attempt to deliver spanned the course of a couple seconds," unquote, referring to delivering the false electors to, at the time, Vice President Mike Pence. So, you know, seditious conspiracy might have happened, but it was only for a few seconds, so it's not that big a deal.
And in regards to this story about expectations about whether or not to get paid back from outstanding campaign debts, that loans that he had made to himself as the self-made businessman, Johnson told Insider back in May, "I don't have any expectation to get paid back." And so that quote doesn't carry a whole lot of weight, that when you're saying that to the press, as this decision comes out from the U.S. Supreme Court, that you have no intention to utilize that new provision. He was just filing with the Federal Elections Commission like he's supposed to. It's just a routine paperwork thing. And then all of a sudden we find out $400,000 paid back from his campaign to him to recover that personal loan made from prior campaigns, not the 2022 election to a third term that he swore he would never run for.
And you and Aaron pointed it out before the show as well. Remember that the payments, as they were made in two installments of 150K and two more of 60 and 40K. All of these payments came on May 3rd, which was about 2 weeks before his quote of, "I don't have any expectations to get paid back," that he said on May 17th. So he had already been paid partially back when he said that, when he told Insider he wasn't expecting to be paid back. And is this just playing semantics? "Oh, I'm not expecting to be paid back more because I already was paid back a little bit." It's just, you know, we talk about this all the time, Luke. Do as I say, not as I do. And actions speak so much louder than words. You cannot take some of these individuals at face value what they do or what they say, excuse me, because what they are doing is entirely different.
We want to hear your thoughts. 844-967-2789. What are your thoughts and how do you feel about U.S. Senator Ron Johnson saying that he had no expectations to be paid back, but using a loophole now through a recent Supreme Court decision that enriched himself, or at least recovered himself, the loan up to $400,000 that he had previously made to past campaigns? We want to hear your thoughts here on Town Call. 844-967-2789. You can call or text. You want to head over? Okay, we're going to head over to the phone lines, Will. Well, we got Andrea in Menominee Falls calling in now. Andrea, what are your thoughts on this subject?
My immediate thought is the student loan forgiveness getting shot down. And I was told by many people that I shouldn't take out loans that I can't pay back. But what's funny in this situation is I think Ron Johnson could have paid this loan back and been just fine. I think it's really interesting that there's so much money that's circulated in politics that we say, oh, we can't afford that. We can't cut that. We can't eat the rich. That's barbaric. They take so many risks in their businesses. And then you just see how much money is getting thrown around, and it's definitely discouraging. I also think back to, I don't know which Wisconsin politician this was, but there was some mail that was distributed, and it was just asking for campaign funds, but it was designed to look like a bill in the mail. And it was like, God, there's going to be some elderly person that just, you know, doesn't have their glasses on, can't see, thinks, oh, I got to pay this bill, and sends it back and unknowingly donate to this campaign. So it's a very interesting concept to me that this money just goes right back into their pockets.
It's deceitful. It's incredibly deceitful. And that's a really good point, Andrea. According to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Johnson's most recent financial disclosure form filed May 15th indicates his net worth is anywhere between $24.7 million and $86.2 million. In other words, more than enough to pay back his campaign or to give himself loans without having to worry about being financially destroyed, unlike the millions of students, for example, who had to take out student loans, or even some of the numerous PPP companies, the small companies that received government loans, because we know a lot of large companies did as well and had their loans forgiven. But where do you draw the line? The very wealthy always seem to expect these type of handouts for themselves, but as soon as you offer handouts for anybody else, it's the lazy people are unwilling to work and they just expect the government to bail them out. It's grotesque.
Exactly. You know, it's just interesting to me that it's always, no, we don't have money for this. We don't have money for this. And it's kind of like, yeah, but these politicians really do. They really do have money for this.
I have to defer back to the Dr. King quote, Andrea. The problem is that we all too often have socialism for the rich and rugged free enterprise capitalism for the poor. We see this example time and time again, industry after industry, situation after situation. It never, never ends. History doesn't repeat itself, but it very often rhymes, and we are seeing these stories left and right. So thanks for giving us a call today, Andrea. We are talking candidate finances today on Town Call. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call, 844-967-2789, or shoot us a text. We'll be right back after the break.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News special report. Former President Trump gets a target letter from the Justice Department.
The target letter indicates you're not just a component of an investigation or a subject of an investigation, but the epicenter of it. So often when somebody receives a target letter in a federal investigation, they are eventually charged with a federal crime.
CBS's Scott McFarland says it's about the special counsel's investigation into the Capitol attack and the bid to try to upend the 2020 election. Trump revealed it first on social media. And in Florida, CBS's Christian Benavides is covering preliminary court action today in the classified documents case that has Trump facing felony counts.
This is the first pre-trial hearing in relation to this classified documents case that's taking place not just against former President Trump, but also his aide, Walt Nauta. Now, we're not expecting Trump or Nauta to be here. However, attorneys for both sides will be here.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Steve Kathan.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
For 105.7 CFW and 93.5 The Tap FM, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Here's what you need to know in the Chippewa Valley. While no one won the Powerball jackpot in Saturday's drawing, one lucky winner in Chippewa Falls is $100,000 richer, thanks to matching four of the five numbers and the Powerball. The winning ticket was sold at a Senex gas station. The jackpot for last night's drawing was estimated to be over $900 million. And tonight, the Eau Claire County Board of Supervisors will elect a new board chair. Former Chair Nick Smyra was voted out last week over the handling of the investigation into the county's health department, which was $3 million over budget in 2019. The new chair will serve until the next election of board officers after next spring's election. One person is dead after a motorcycle crash in Sawyer County Sunday afternoon. The sheriff's office said the 53-year-old Ladysmith man was driving east on Highway 48, about a mile west of Exelon, when he lost control of his motorcycle and crashed in the ditch. Officials don't know when the crash happened, but said in a release they are still investigating. From the Civic Media News Desk here in Western Wisconsin, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
One call can do it all. Your business's message can be broadcast across the entire state of Wisconsin through the Civic Media Network of stations, or we can focus the campaign in your hometown. We have the flexibility. You have the control. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
For over a century, AM radio has evolved to meet the needs of our community. More than 80 million listeners depend on AM radio each month. It's also the backbone of the emergency alert system, keeping us safe in dangerous times. A new bill in Congress would ensure this free, reliable service remains in cars. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM radio for every vehicle act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to four messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters. More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to four messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app. It's What's on Tap for the Chippewa Valley. 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.
Welcome one, welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. We are talking campaign finance, and we are talking should politicians be able to repay themselves via campaign funds? Reading over from the piece at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, of course, Ron Johnson, the current senior senator for the state of Wisconsin, has paid himself back $400,000 from his campaign accounts. And Luke, I wanted to dive a little bit, just to provide a little bit of context. We mentioned the Ted Cruz versus FEC ruling from May of 2022, which got rid of the old limit of $250,000 that you could repay your campaign and instead made it essentially unlimited. And this case, in a 6-3 ruling, held that the law violates the First Amendment on behalf of Senator Ted Cruz Because candidates should be able to repay any loans that they make to their own campaigns. It involves Section 304 of the Bipartisan Campaign Finance Reform Act. At the time, it only allowed up to $250,000 in post-election contributions, but no more. A lower court had ruled that the $250,000 limit is unconstitutional because the government had not shown either that it serves an interest in preventing politicians from trading favors for contributions, or that the limit is sufficiently targeted to serve that interest. The Supreme Court upheld that ruling. Writing for the court, Chief Justice John Roberts began by rejecting the Federal Election Commission's argument that Cruz and his campaign lacked the right to sue because the injuries they complained about, which was the campaign's inability to fully repay a $260,000 loan that Cruz made to his campaign before Election Day.
Just conveniently $10,000 more than the legal limit, you know, almost like picking a fight.
It felt like picking a fight,
knowing that you had a friendly ally that could come in and, you know, rule in your favor with a 6-3 majority on the nation's highest court.
It's very similar to the 303 creative case that we talked about the other day, where if you're
just all made up through thin air. That was just all hypotheticals. We found out after the fact that really there was no harm done. There was no standing. But for whatever reason, it went to the nation's highest court.
Exactly. We know what reasons. But my point was more so when you're able to cherry pick a case and create an issue that purposely allows you to attack an idea or established precedent, it's so much easier to have the courts rule in your favor because you are crafting a case specifically designed to get this ruling.
We want to hear your thoughts. Is this par for the course? Is this what all politicians do? Or is U.S. Senator Ron Johnson an exception with saying that he had no intention of recouping these funds, but now because of change in the rules, he's about $400,000 wealthier, repaying himself back that from campaign contributions? We want to hear your thoughts. 844-967-2789. You can call in to Town Call. I'm Luke Mathers. He's William Walter. We got Don in Milwaukee calling in now. Don, what are your thoughts?
Am I on the air?
Yeah, we got you on the air, Don.
Call. I'm kind of disillusioned with politicians the way it is. And I would like to know, we know that they're in there to make themselves rich. Let's face it. No use kidding yourself. I mean, I would like to know, I'm a former farmer. I'm switching gears a little bit. There was an article a couple weeks ago in the Journal, and it was telling how the milk is being transferred up north down here to Milwaukee. We're dumping it down the sewers, get thousands of pounds. I always thought this rule of supply and demand meant something. I go to the store to buy a gallon of milk. What does it cost me? $4. I want to buy a pound of butter. What does it cost me? $6. I want to buy some cheese. What does it cost me per pound? $9-$10. I mean, why can't they, if there's so much milk on the market, why can't these greedy people give the farmer a cut out of the profits that they make? I myself had to give up farming.
I couldn't make it.
I just couldn't make it anymore. Right now, the farmer, if he can even, because see, they're refusing the milk because there's so much milk on the.
Well, there weren't enough
processors. They're getting paid $15 a 100 pounds.
Don, so there aren't enough processors, from my understanding of the reading of that piece that you referenced in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. There's just simply not, there's a bottleneck. There has been such a either consolidation or just slim down, as you pointed out. Small dairy farmers have been squeezed out of the market in a lot of instances, but there's just too few processors now to take that milk, that raw milk, and either turn it into pasteurized milk for gallons or half gallons or whatever size at the grocery store, or turn it into any other dairy product, cheese, butter, ice cream, anything. And so, yes.
Right, well, I understand. You know, Luke, I understand that.
Yeah.
But then why, when you go to the store, well, why, you know, see, isn't there that they all say supply and demand? Well, why do I have to pay $4? Why can't they sell it to you for $2 a gallon? A pound of butter. Why do I have to pay $6?
That is an excellent question.
You touched on it earlier, Don.
Pardon?
You noted greed. When he noted greed earlier, I think Don hit the nail on the head. I mean, the vast majority of issues that we have in modern society comes down to a small handful of individuals being incredibly greedy. And to give you a little more context as well, Don, there was a piece from CBS News focused on Minnesota because of the number of videos of farmers in Minnesota that have been dumping thousands and thousands of gallons of milk on their farms. It says because of oversupply in processing plants. There's a direct quote from Justin Malone, a third generation dairy farmer and one of the owners of Hastings Creamery, who notes that ultimately the nutrition in dairy is very much needed in this country and other parts of the world. However, a lot of folks in the dairy industry just don't have enough processing to handle the amount of milk that the dairy industry is producing right now.
I mean, you know, you read about Ethiopia and all these countries that are, I mean, you know, you think there would be a way. I mean, I don't know the answer, but I mean, you look at that and my God, you all the people that could be using this milk and it's being dumped. My God. And I mean, wait, not only that, you would be helping the farmer too. You know, because at least
the farmers are the ones that are out.
Because right now, when you got to dump your milk out, oh my God, you get nothing.
It's money down the drain, Don. And I think it's important to point out as well that how perishable a product milk is leads it to be very difficult to be able to send to places like Ethiopia or other places around the world that could be in dire use of it. I think being able to have politicians that are focused on improving the dairy industry, a large portion of what the state of Wisconsin is focused on in returning from the COVID-19 pandemic has been getting money into the dairy sector. The Evers administration has been targeted that sector specifically, along with tourism and the Main Street Bounce Back Program. It has been a top priority, but the farm bill that's going to be debated throughout the coming weeks and months, that's going to be something Congress is working on this fall, and we highly encourage individuals to be encouraging their congressmen and women and senators,
Don,
to make sure that they're advocating for dairy farmers and the small local dairy farmers that make up the rural communities across the state of Wisconsin, because that's part of our identity. And if the consolidation that we've been seeing in recent years and decades continues, it's only going to be the large dairy farms and the CAFOs, the concentrated animal feeding operations, that are left in those markets. And so being able to engage in those policymakers and those lawmakers' decision process is a huge part in being able to advocate and improve the dairy processing, so we don't see problems like we're seeing right now with raw milk being dumped down the sewer, as you alluded to, Don. We appreciate you contributing here on Town Call on this Tuesday afternoon. But we're also talking, is it important for our politicians to be held accountable when it comes to saying one thing and doing another? If you've got thoughts on it, we want to hear them. 844-967-2789. We're up next, we got Mark from Prairie du Sac calling in. Mark, what's on your mind today?
I'd like to say is that Ron Johnson is kind of lying about what he did, and I wonder if that money is supposed to be income now for him. But
I don't know how it will get classified on his taxes yet. It'll be interesting to see how a loan repayment that was essentially a donation to the campaign. He was self-funding his 2010 and 2016 campaigns to see what happens. And I think it's also important to point out that after he ran for the U.S. Senate in 2010 for the first time, he spent about $9 million, I believe, roughly in that ballpark, on self-funding his campaign for the U.S. Senate.
8.4.
And roughly a payout from his previous employer before leaving and being employed by We the People in the U.S. Senate, received a nice payout from his former employer in the same ballpark as well. So he already saw some, you know, covering of the costs for those quote-unquote donations that he made to himself. And now, through this recent Supreme Court ruling, he can also have the campaign pay him back officially in that regard as well.
And so that seems to me it's all like income, regardless of source, whether the Supreme Court says he can take it or not, because the Supreme Court hasn't said, well, that's not taxable income. Well, it should be taxable as far as I'm concerned. And for the brother there with the former dairy farmer, it's a shame that all these small dairy processors have closed, because I know here in Sauk City, you know, a community I moved to some years ago, now, there used to be a processing plant here. And I know that in Superior, when I was growing up, there was a dairy processing plant in South Superior that the local farmers were able to use to process processed dairy products. So I mean that, and it's part of it, probably safer for the industry if we decentralize some of those operations, because that makes them less, likely that some disaster could occur and there'd be a bottleneck there once again. So it'd be, you know, interesting to see if they could get some cooperative operations together that so smaller farmers could utilize, you know, smaller processing plants, because like you guys have said, there's a demand for the product out there, and it's a bloody shame that milk is getting dumped down the drain rather than getting processed into a marketable product for our farmers.
Yeah, we appreciate the phone call, Mark, and it is absolutely something we encourage you to, again, contact your representatives, your U.S. Senate members to encourage in this upcoming farm bill that it will be discussed before Congress still this year, that provisions that help small local dairy farms here in Wisconsin and around the nation to be able to compete and have it so that they're not the ones that are losing out and their milk from their products and their cows is the milk that goes down the drain. We don't want to see any of it go to waste. We want to be able to have a robust dairy industry, especially here in the state of Wisconsin. And this seems like all the more reason to make sure that you're contacting your representatives in the federal government to let them know your stance on that.
All politics is local, Luke. I got to get you on this. If you could get me the audio clip of the tap the sign joke, because I feel like I'm making that joke left and right.
Sign.
Don't make me tap the sign. All politics is local. We all need to get involved. Reach out to your representatives and focus on your local races. You know, we talked about this yesterday. The federal races always get the attention. They get the big money. They're the big, sexy races. But these local races really matter. These local races will impact your day-to-day life. And in my situation, Luke, we happen to have a local race going on today.
Today.
If you're in the 24th Assembly District, make sure you get out and vote. We have our special election today for the 24th AD. And it's, you know, I hate low turnout elections because it's antithetical to democracy. I want to make sure everybody's voice is heard. I want to make sure everybody's getting in there. Everybody's having their opinion read and being able to contribute to the democratic process. So 24th AD, friends, make sure you get out and vote today. We're talking campaign finance and donations back to your campaign today on Town Call. How do we restore trust in our political system? If you'd like to participate, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. We'll be right back after the break.
Don't make me tap the sign.
But I'm lost and I need to know where.
Last stop.
It's so hot. Wait. Now it's going to rain? It is summer in Wisconsin.
As much as we love it, we love to hate it too. Find a forecast you can count on along with the in-depth details you need, only from the Civic Media Weather Team.
These extended conditions have led us into a flash drought. Sitting in these above average temperatures with minimal rain has swiftly altered the local climate.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app. Listen to this mission. Highlight ag research from the University, showcase education, and show off new technology. Written almost 70 years ago, it's still what you'll find at Wisconsin Farm Technology Days. This year's show includes hot tech like drones, food grown across the state, and how it all impacts our economy. Sauk County is your Farm Technology Days host at the Badger Steam and Gas Engine Club in Baraboo, July 18th through 20th. Details at wifarmtechdays.org. I'm Terry Bach.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Kareem
Maureen Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
We spend $500 on our infants and toddlers on average. If you go to the other countries, you're talking about $11,000 on average in Europe and the other developed countries. It makes a difference. They end up spending less on their K-12 system. They end up spending less on their colleges. They end up spending less on jail.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 till 8. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Through the afternoon, mostly sunny and a high in the low 80s. Chance of rain late tonight, low upper 50s, and a few lingering showers tomorrow morning, then clearing, high 85. Back into sunshine as we look towards Thursday, a high around 80 degrees, and into the low 80s Friday, more sunshine. Right now it's 76.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
All my exes live in Texas. And Texas is
welcome one, welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. And as you probably noted from our intro song, we're going to be going in a little bit of a different direction right now, Luke, because I want to talk about a story that absolutely broke my heart. Reading over from the Houston
Real
Chronicle.
Quick, Will, real quick before we dive into
yes,
that, just talking about integrity and our public life, our public officials, our elections. We got an update within the last 20 minutes here, breaking. The top election official here in Wisconsin, Megan Wolf, the Wisconsin Elections Commission administrator, has become the third election official here in Wisconsin to confirm that they have been interviewed by the federal prosecutors looking into a special probe in the efforts to overturn the state of Wisconsin's 2020 electoral results. So Megan Wolf confirming she too has sat down with members of the special counsel's probe looking into the surrounding of the plot to overturn the 2020 election here in Wisconsin.
Interesting. And we know that if you didn't catch yesterday's episode, please hit us up wherever podcasts can be found. We discussed the two previous Wisconsin officials who have already sat down to speak with the election probe. And now it seems Megan Wolf is also confirming that she has done so as well.
And former President Donald Trump has confirmed that he is a member, or at least a target, of the probe. He has been notified that by the special counsel's probe. Usually you don't let other people know that you're the subject of an investigation, but Donald Trump, he goes and he shares it. And so then we find out like things like this.
Via Truth Social.
I don't know what else to say to that. But jumping back to the Texas story, Will, because, yeah, this headline, I saw it, and I think it's important why we're having these conversations. How we get better elected officials, how we restore the faith in our electoral process and who is representing us in all levels of government, whether it's at the federal level, whether it's the chief executive, the president of the United States, or all the way down to state governments as well. It's very important to be having these conversations about how we restore integrity, because sometimes you find these heartbreaking stories, Will, that as you referenced, we're going to talk about now here in Texas.
Mm-hmm. And I have to note, Luke, that I am not a lawyer, but if I were a lawyer, I would highly advise any and all potential clients to not go to social media immediately announcing that they are the target of an investigation. So again, not a lawyer. So don't take my word for
just
it.
Just a hunch? Is that just a hunch? Like, you're sharing that advice on a hunch or what?
Shot in the dark. I feel like that might be good information to give an individual that hypothetically might be the target of a federal investigation. I would just say don't go to social media. Maybe shouldn't be the first place you go for a lot of big news in your life. But reading over from this piece at the Houston Chronicle, Luke, that, again, just absolutely broke my heart. Texas troopers told to push children into Rio Grande, deny water to migrants, records say. Officers working for Governor Greg Abbott's Border Security Initiative have been ordered to push small children and nursing babies back into the river and have been told not to give water to asylum seekers, even in extreme heat, according to an email from a Department of Public Safety trooper who described the actions as, quote, inhumane. The July 3rd account reviewed by Hearst newspapers discloses several previously unreported incidences the troopers witnessed in Eagle Pass, where the state of Texas has strung miles of razor wire and deployed a wall of buoys into the Rio Grande. According to the email, a pregnant woman having a miscarriage was found late last month, caught in the wire, doubled over in pain. A four-year-old girl passed out from heat exhaustion after trying to go through it and was pushed back by the Texas National Guard soldiers. And a teenager broke his leg trying to navigate the water around the wire and had to be carried by his father. This is grotesque, Luke. This is human rights abuses. The United States is supposed to be the land of the free, where anybody has an opportunity to create a better future for themselves and their families. And this is how we're treating people.
Yeah, I don't know what else to say to these reports. The for lack of better term, booby traps that are being set by Texas State Patrol along the border, looking to harm or maim or possibly kill these individuals that are seeking a better opportunity and better life. It leaves me speechless, Will. It is unimaginable that here in the year 2023, this is the situation that we find a state like Texas to be in. Like Texas, a large portion of the Texas population is individuals that migrated here, either through legal processes or illegal. Like, it is insane to see that this is the state of affairs for one of the largest states in the union. To for decades, we had Ronald Reagan was we were the light on the shiny, we were the city on the shining light of the hill, or whatever the exact quote is. I know I'm butchering it, but it is insane to say that we have a inability to have a more humane process to address this problem, the problem of immigration. And I thought that children in cages was the absolute low that we as a country, the United States, would stoop to. But unfortunately, there is something lower than that. Mm-hmm. And I think it is the details outlined in this report detailing how an email was sent through the Texas State Patrol sharing what is exactly going on down there on our southern border.
A Department of Public Safety trooper expressed similar concerns with the wiring. And I like how you phrase it as booby trapping, because that's exactly right. That the wiring, quote, forces people to cross in other areas that are deeper and not as safe for people carrying kids in bags, unquote. The email then notes that DPS found a mother and a child who went underwater for more than a minute, were recovered and transferred to EMS, but were later declared deceased. The second child has never been found. People are drowning because of these policies. People are suffering because of these policies. It's almost like the cruelty is the point. And it kind of reminds me of another thing that Governor Greg Abbott did, which was at the end of June, he eliminated local rules requiring water breaks for workers in one of the hottest states in the union. This has led to death as well. A week later, a 35-year-old utility lineman working to restore power in Marshall, Texas, died after experiencing symptoms of heat index. The heat index was 100 degrees Fahrenheit while he was working, not even giving workers protection to guarantee themselves water breaks. I have to think the cruelty is the point, because I can't think of any other reason to do this. This has been Town Call. We are sorry to end on such a sad note, but as Luke noted, we have to talk about these issues. If people don't know they're happening, we're not able to stand up and fight accordingly. And as a community, we need to be doing what we can to protect each other. If you'd like to participate in tomorrow's forum, we got Dan Schaefer coming to town to talk recombobulation. It's going to be a much better time, hopefully, than today was. But we'd love to have you participate. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. 844-967-2789. Have a great rest of your day.
If you've got ideas for a future forum, send us an email. towncall@civicmedia.us. We'd love to hear your ideas. Talk to y'all tomorrow at 2:15. 12:15. 1215.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba.
Please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.